Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you could hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale, and this is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Good evening, Karen. How you doing?
Hello. I thought you were going to have to stall for me tonight because I was stuck in running a child around hell, but it all worked out, and I managed to, you know, I thought you were going to have to say, if you can hear our voices, and then they say, hi, Rick, thank you very much for, you know.
So tonight we have a pretty decent show, a really good show to be giving everybody. Tonight we're going to be talking We're going to be talking to Lauren Keyes, co-founder and director of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, as well as Kelly Kalb, historical research director. We're going to be talking to them about their many, many investigations. Yeah, I recently went to their website and I was amazed at how many investigations they've actually done. And a lot of them are private residences too, which is great because you're really helping people out when, you know, people are scared. They want answers and not just pictures and some fuzzy EVPs. So we're going to be talking to them when we come back from break. But first, I have a theory.
I heard a rumor that you wanted to talk about cattle mutilations.
Yes, I have a theory concerning cattle mutilations. All right, it's going to sound a little bit strange, but I've never actually heard anybody use this as a viable theory. Okay, now, ever since the 1960s...
Aliens like hamburger.
No, not exactly. It's something a little bit different.
Hey.
No, okay. It's something a little bit different. Okay, since the mid to late 1960s, you know, not only American ranchers but Canadian ranchers as well as I think some other, you know, places around the world have gone out into their fields expecting to find, you know, all their animals doing whatever it is that, you know, cows do, you know, the grazing and the mooing and the giving milk. Who knows?
And the methane.
And unfortunately, they go out and they find Bessie out in the middle of the field and she's stripped of, you know, flesh and her major organs or vital organs are missing and all the soft tissue is gone. Now, people say that, okay, it's predation. There's animals out there, you know. Now, unless a coyote attended 8 years of medical school and learned how to use a scalpel, that's not going to happen considering how clean some of these wounds that are that they find on these animals, these cows that get mutilated.
So Wile E. Coyote is also not your theory.
Wile E. Coyote is not exactly the mad genius that we all thought he was. Okay.
Okay.
Another theory, of course, is probably one of the most ridiculous ones I've ever heard is that, you know, evil Satanists are going out and killing these animals. The only problem with that is, unless they're floating above the ground, which I guess if you're a follower of the Lord of Darkness, it is possible. They never found any, you know, footprints or anything about this.
Maybe they have jet pants.
Maybe. I guess like when you sell your soul to Satan, he gives you something really badass like that.
He gives you jet pants. That's right.
Or another one, too, is that the United States government is testing some kind of weapon or virus or bacteria. But
yeah, maybe it's a... Wait. You just gave me an idea. I know you're trying to get your theory out, but what if it's like they're testing like some kind of a remote control scalpel bot?
That would actually be cool, but I mean, it would have to float because nobody's ever found any kind of...
Yeah, a floating surgery bot. That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like the thing from Star Wars.
In jet pants.
Okay, so the one that I find interesting is that people think that aliens do this. Extraterrestrials, for whatever reason, they come down and they, you know, they mess up the cows in the field. Okay. Now, when you think about what they take, blood, tissue, soft tissue, muscles, vital organs, and then leave this animal just, you know, dead in the middle of the field. Now, why else would somebody take that kind of material?
Bovine spongiform encephalopathy.
Quite possibly. However, let's look at
this. Do you even know what that is?
I don't know.
Mad cow disease.
Okay. All right. Thank you. But my theory is this, is that these aliens, they've scoured the entire universe, scanning millions and billions of species, looking for something that has the same DNA as they do. And for whatever reason, cows. I think, you know, I'm just putting it out there as a possibility that...
So, you know what? Instead of pigs in space, it's cows in space. Yes!
I mean,
I actually like that, and the Muppets could do something with that.
But seriously, think about it, though. I mean, the kind of stuff that they take is the kind of stuff that you give when you donate organs. I mean,
that's true.
Maybe these aliens, if assuming that it is extraterrestrials doing this, maybe they have cow DNA and they've come to the right place and found the right species.
But what's interesting about that is actually the BSC that I just mentioned, the bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or however you say it, the mad cow disease. So mm-hmm. does that mean that, you know, there's a chance that they're then infecting their species with this strange earth disease?
That is actually quite possible. I hadn't even given that any thought. I was just focused on, you know, the organ donation or the organ stealing. You know, that's what I was focused on. I never really thought about that. You know, kind of like a vampire biting somebody and contracting AIDS or hepatitis B or whatever.
Well, so because here's the thing that I think. Although they probably, I mean, if they can do this to cattle, then they probably have some way, assuming that it's aliens, which I don't buy totally, but assuming it is, if they can do this to cattle, then they have a way of, they probably have the technology to make sure that it's clean, healthy tissue. But when you introduce, just here on Earth, when you introduce an alien species or even a different race or group of people into, like when you take white missionaries to Africa, mm-hmm. to these distant tribes that don't have any contact with anybody except for, you know, local tribes and that type of thing. A lot of times what comes with white people to Africa, disease.
Mm.
Because you're taking something that has all these bacterium that are different than what this population is used to. So if that's the case, don't you think that that's a risk inherent with harvesting DNA or organs or whatever it is from a totally unknown planet?
Well, that was the risk that we had back before they really started testing people for the AIDS virus, you know, giving blood or whatever. Mm-hmm. You had, you know, hundreds of people that were getting AIDS because they were getting blood transfusion. And then we came up with the technology to be able to detect it and, you know, throw those samples and donations out. So maybe they have a way of detecting this and they're like, you know what, we got to reject this.
True. But how many cattles are actually, how many cattles, good English, I as a writer, how many cattle are actually being mutilated, really?
See, but that's the thing. It's like, it's been going on now for almost 50 years, and it's not only here in the United States, it's also in Canada. There's been a few, I think, over in Europe and in South America, so it's almost impossible to say how many have been, you know, how much this cattle mutilation has been done. So,
but they also may be able to take maybe the tissue. Maybe it's not that it's the DNA. Maybe it's like stem cells for human disease, and the way that or it could be something else like that. It could be something that, you know, they're cloning it or using it as a source to grow other tissue, synthetic tissue. It could be a lot of things, or maybe they just dig leather.
But then even with that, they would have to share that common DNA.
Yeah.
So, but well, like I said, just
interesting
theory.
So we just have a couple more minutes before break, but I got to tell you what happened to me last night.
Okay.
All right. So I was lying in bed reading, and I'm very, very tired because it's the first week of school. And, you know, our bedtimes have sort of gotten later and later over the summer, which means I've sort of slept in later. Well, now I'm back to the 5 a.m. thing. So I'm tired this week. So I'm lying in bed reading last night, and my clock radio turned on to really, really loud static. There were no alarms set. There was not like a power blink or anything else. It was just this one clock radio next to my bed turned on to really loud static.
Okay.
So isn't that kind of weird?
Oh, that is kind of strange. I mean, unless it was some kind of power surge, but it would have affected all the other electrical stuff in your house. But didn't you say once before that you think that your house has, you know, its own
We have spirits. Actually, what I think we have is I think that I don't think we have any resident spirits. I think what we have are transitory things. I think that, I don't know if they come, you know, because they know that I can sense them. I don't know if they come for the kids. I don't know if they like the dogs. You know, who knows? But I think that we do.
They come for the barbecue.
And actually, Robin Marie, when she was on our show and was doing that photo scrying thing, said that she sees a lot of that coming towards my home anyway. Saw it coming up the hill. So I think that maybe we have some transitional energies that work their way through the house occasionally.
That's quite possibly.
But I don't know that we have anything permanent. Tanner thought for a long time that he had a little kid following him around upstairs. And you know, and I've had a few incidents upstairs where I thought it was a kid, where I was sitting in my chair one night typing and I heard Tanner come up the stairs and I heard him walk across the floor to behind me, and I was facing away from the door and he bumped my chair and my chair started to spin and I turned around to say something to him and there was nobody there and he was downstairs asleep. And it was when we only had one dog. He was downstairs sleeping with the dog. So,
wow.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So let's do this. Yeah. Let's take a break.
Well, first off, I'm going to keep looking out my window here in the basement, make sure the men in black aren't coming to my door.
Hey, if they do, that means that, you know what they'll be wearing, though?
What's that?
Jet pants.
Jet pants, and they worship Satan.
Worshiping jet pants wearing cow stealing men in black.
Cattle mutilators.
Oh, and so... Now that everybody has managed to stay with us, even though we've painted such a lovely picture for them, let's take a we'll come back with our guests. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
We're scanning up a good time on your favorite radio station.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Only 6 o'clock in the morning and my heartbeat is out of control. 10 minutes until boarding feels like I'm about to explode. Time for the ride up. Tension started to swirl. I can't believe I'm gonna free fall from the top of the world. Senses peaked with a crazy anticipation. Feeling like this, tell me how the hell can I be patient? Jumpsuit rig, Google helmet all in place. Double checking just in case. I'm elated, baby, freedom one green light away. And I just can't wait.
Every time you wanna feel freedom in your life. a pleasure without any spark of distraction around. State of mind, euphoria, wish could last forever. From this day on, nothing can stop us from getting back together.
Identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. She is Karen. I am Rick.
I was going to say, not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily in that order. All right, tonight for our listeners, we have a really good show tonight. We have members of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. Tonight joining us will be Lauren Keyes, the co-founder as well as the director, and Kelly Kalb, the historical research director of the group. We're going to be talking about their many investigations as well as being on a great television show that was on Animal Planet, The Haunted. Kelly and Lauren, welcome to the underground.
Thank you.
So, you know, how did you guys swing a cool gig like The Haunted? I mean, that's actually one of the few shows that I can watch and, you know, not want to run to the bathroom retching. So, how'd you guys land a cool gig like that?
No, well, I'm thrilled that you like the show. We had, when they started doing the whole Psychic Kids project, we mm-hmm. were contacted by the production team just wanting to know if we had any cases that would work for them. We happened to give them a case. They did not use it at the time, and then it kind of a year and a half went by. And one day we got a call from them, and they said, hey, we're doing this new show. It's going to have an animal connection. Do you have any cases that might fit into the show? And it just so happened that we had several cases that would fit into the show. And then they had a case that came directly to Animal Planet. And they called us and asked us to cover that one as well. Mm-hmm. And the next season, we ended up having a ton of cases that had animal connections. And they just kept coming to us. So it just kind of happened that way that we had 9 episodes in the two seasons. But yeah, it was just, you know, by chance, we happened to have stuff that would work, and it was really cool.
That is cool. Although I have to tell you, I don't know that I would want to be regularly on a television show. I was on one for the Travel Channel once. It wasn't a paranormal, it was something else. It takes forever, all the lighting you and stuff.
It does take a long time, and this was something totally new for us. What a lot of people don't realize is The Haunted is a non-compensated show. We do this completely voluntarily, mm-hmm. without compensation, mm-hmm. and it was something different for us, and we just thought it would be fun to try, and, you know, then we fell into all these other episodes, and we really enjoyed it, and I hate watching myself on TV, and I think Kelly was you know, pretty much in the same boat as me, or I think she didn't want to be on TV either.
Yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah. But, you know, it turned out to be a lot of fun. I don't usually watch the episodes that I'm on because I don't like to watch myself. So, yeah. You know, but it definitely was a great opportunity for us.
Great.
Very cool.
So let's get, you know, past The Haunted, the television show, and let's talk about, you know, you guys, Lauren and Kelly. I know that, Lauren, that you're the co-founder and the director. Before we talk about the team in general, I always like to ask this of investigators, what exactly sparked your interest in the in psychical research and investigation? Lauren, you first.
Well, my oldest daughter passed away when she was 3 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks. Shortly after her passing, within days, weird things started happening where I would hear Mom called out of nowhere. My phone would ring, and there would be nobody there, and one of her favorite things happened to be playing with the telephone. So it was little things like that. You know, I kind of knew there was something, but I was never really into it, and I happened to meet my now husband and co-founder and co-director of the group, mm-hmm. and he was already, you know, very much into the paranormal and the metaphysical side of everything, and he really pulled me into the investigation part. So that's kind of where I came from with all of this.
Okay. Kelly?
Yeah, mine basically started in my own house. I had my own personal experience seeing dark shadows and a lot of strange happenings, and that's what prompted me to contact the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. And then they came and investigated, got some evidence. Lauren had an experience here, and it just kind of spawned off of that. I offered to do historical research for them as a way of, like, paying them back for what they did for me.
Sure.
So that's kind of where I fell into place now.
Yeah, but she was so on top of everything and so dedicated, and so we put her on as an investigator, and Kelly has turned out to be one of our strongest investigators, so she's a great asset to our team.
Well, I have to tell you one of my favorite aspects of paranormal investigation, which is really surprising, because the only B I ever got in high school was in history, spring quarter of my senior year.
I rocked in history.
It was a B plus. And so history when I was in school was just really dry and boring, and yet one of my favorite aspects of paranormal investigation turns out to be the historical research. So what a great gig you've got.
Yeah, it sounds just like me, actually. I never really liked history in school, and I actually started researching my family tree, and that's where it all kind of happened. A couple years later, all this happened. So, it's strange the way things work out.
Very cool. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
I've always been kind of a history nerd, and I think the best part of this is that you can look at the history, and then you can actually bring it to somebody else, like a homeowner or a business owner, and say, this is the history, and things start falling together, and it starts making sense to them, and then we have a psychic medium that comes in, and she comes up with all this information, and it matches all the history, and I think that's really, you know, what grabs you. When you can make sense of it and make it so real, it's a lot more fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree, and I think that any kid who hates history in school just needs to spend a little time someplace haunted and research it and trying to figure it all out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Or even just researching their own, you know, their own family history or the history of their own property. Because you just never know, you know, what you're going to find.
Yeah.
You appreciate it more, too. And, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, you know, let's talk about your team. Now, Lauren, you as the co-founder and director, you said that you and your husband started this group and, you know, he was very much into the metaphysical side of psychical research investigation. Can you explain to our listeners what metaphysical means?
Well, it's, you know, what we do entails a lot more than just sitting in the dark looking for ghosts.
Right.
My husband, now he is the he's the nerd of out of the two of us.
Hey, nerds of the world unite.
Absolutely. He's you know, he studies the whole physics and all of the theories behind the energies of the spirit.
Ah, your husband and I would be good friends then.
the quantum thing.
Communicate, absolutely. Quantum physics is like, you know, I mean, we have the books and the whole thing, and he's just done a ton of research on that.
Me too. I'm the quantum nerd.
See, well, you would have a great time talking to him. Some of that escapes me. Unfortunately, I was more the history nerd than the science nerd. So, but we use a psychic on almost every case. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more that you can bring to the table when you have a psychic medium who has already proven herself to be extremely accurate.
She absolutely
helps so many people. I mean, she helps the clients immensely. If we find nothing, at the very least, they've got this psychic medium who has now already validated almost everything that they've experienced. So we walk out of there, they don't feel like they're crazy, you know, and even though we can't hand them something of physical evidence,
sure,
they have, you know, the psychic medium that they've worked with. And a lot of them, a lot of our clients already believe in the whole, you know, metaphysical side. And they already believe that there are spirits. And they believe that, you know, people can be trapped and not cross. And so it's just a great tool to have to bring in that side of everything and not just walk in there with a whole bunch of gear and say, well, sorry, we didn't get any evidence. I guess there's nothing here.
Right.
Karen, have I not been saying that the whole time we've been doing this show? I mean, I honestly...
Look at that. Yeah. You guys, you know, we were interested in you before, which is why we're glad you're on the show, but between the quantum physics and this, you guys have just gotten infinitely more interesting.
And more nerdy.
That's okay, because you might not have figured it out yet, but Rick and I, total dorks.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's okay. So are we. I mean, our group is made up of several law enforcement officers who, you know, have a background in investigation. So they're always looking for answers to everything.
Now, may I interject with that as well? I mean, the co-founder and lead investigator of my group is a former police officer. I cannot imagine, unless the president was your founder and lead investigator, to, you know, have more credibility than a police officer, trained observer.
I know. I have to tell you something about that really fast. My mother is like all skeptical about ghosts. Now, I've written a book about it. I've, you know, talked on the radio about it, written tons of articles about it. And what convinced my mother finally that ghosts exist is one of her friend's police officer sons said his house was haunted.
See, yeah, sometimes that's all it takes for people. And, you know, some people are really comfortable with that fact. You know, most of our cases, when we go in, nobody knows. You know, what my husband does for a living. And, you know, so they'll say, oh, you know, we had this group come in and these people and that people, and they have things to say about every group. And, you know, sometimes we just tell them to put their minds at ease, and for some odd reason, that makes them feel better. I don't know. If you told me, you know, oh, yeah, we have, you know, a bunch of cops coming in, and be like, oh, great, here we go.
Everybody, hide the weed.
But see, everybody else thinks that. Everybody else thinks it makes you not wackadoos.
Yeah.
They're an interesting bunch, you know, and they're all very analytical. And they get to the point sometimes where, you know, you just want to say stop. But you know what? It's great. We do. We have a strong team. We have, you know, a dentist and a biologist. And so we have a really vast group of people. We went into one case where they actually had a bone that they found in the yard. And, you know, we had a dentist and a biologist who were able to, you know, look at this bone and, you know, try to determine if it was human, if it was animal, what part of the body it was. Right. And that's something I wouldn't be able to do. I'd look at it and go, yep, okay, could be a bone.
Okay.
You know, so it's nice to have all these different backgrounds and fields to work with.
Yeah, what great diversity you guys have. How did you manage that? Just sort of that's who came together as a group, or did you have some friends that you knew that, you know, you thought would fill good roles, or...
We actually started with several of the people that my husband worked with were interested in starting a group. So when we started, we had several other police officers and an FBI agent, just people that my husband worked with that wanted to do this. And as they kind of started to fall out and, you know, not be so involved anymore, we needed to add some new investigators, and most of our investigators came from referrals from people who were already in the group or other people that we knew outside. And of course we got Kelly you know, from actually doing an investigation at her house. So it just kind of happened that, you know, they were there when we needed them, and we're now capped at 13 members, and you know, we're really happy with our nice little team. So
yeah. So basically, when I was looking at your guys' website, I saw that you do a lot of private residences. I think that's great because that's where you can really help somebody out. You know, people are, it sucks if you have to be afraid of living in your own house because there's some unseen force that comes in and, you know, disturbs you and your family. So, you know, why don't you guys kind of like, you know, run us through how you conduct an investigation?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of background, and then I'm going to let Kelly tell you a little bit more since we actually went into her house to do an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of our requests come in through our website, and we have a form people complete, and we then contact them, just let them know that we did get their request. It's usually, unless there's something that's where these people can't live in their house because it's the activity so bad, or there's children who are severely affected, they usually just go onto our waiting list, which now is about 30 deep. So it's usually a good 6 to 8 weeks, if not a little bit longer, before we get to a case. But we'll then call and, you know, let them know when we have a date available, which is usually about 3 weeks before we can get out there. And, you know, we set up our date from there, and I'm going to let Kelly tell you a little bit about what we do when we go out on a case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically for me, because I do the historical research, once I have the date of when the case is going to happen and I have the address, then I start my part of it, and I start looking into all the previous deeds of the home, get every name I can possibly get, then I individually search each one, see what I can find if possibly there's any tragedies that happened on the property, or if there were any deaths, anything like that. I try and print and gather as much as I can to give to the client when we're done, because everyone likes to get all that information at the end. You know, it just makes them feel like they have the history of the house. And plus then, for us, it ties into what our psychic comes up with, too. She's not given any information prior, just the address, like a few hours before we need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So when she does her walkthrough, I kind of stand in the background and just listen if I can, give her a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Usually it's all thumbs up because she's amazing.
Excellent.
But, yeah, and then, well, we just go in and set up our equipment, and Lauren can probably handle the rest of that as far as the setup goes, what we all use and everything.
Yeah, what kind of equipment do you use?
We have a DVR system.
Okay.
With infrared cameras, and we'll set those up stationary in what we call the quote-unquote hot spots. And the hot spots we determine by, first of all, our psychic walkthrough, the things that she comes up with, and also from the client's accounts of where they're experiencing the most activity. And then we have handheld video cameras. You know, they're very standard with night shot kind of thing. We use voice recorders, which we use Olympus voice recorders, and they're absolutely phenomenal. And Olympus has actually set us up with a whole set of recorders, so they've been wonderful working with us. But we have those, and we use lasers and motion detectors. And we've gotten more creative with different things as we go. We'll try different things. We have a little scale. And the theory behind the scale is, well, if an entity can muster enough energy to touch, say, a K2 meter, which is an electromagnetic field reader, if it can do that, then why can't it create just enough weight on that scale to read? And we have a very sensitive scale that can read, you know, as little as like half an ounce, quarter of an ounce.
I have never even thought about using something like that. Thank you. At our next investigation, I am definitely going to use that.
That would be our group nerd that came up with that.
It all comes from the law enforcement part of it, because it's something that, you know, in the drug enforcement unit, they have these scales, and the scales are extremely sensitive. Mm-hmm. And my husband thought, you know what, why not? And so we've been taking that out with us, and he actually started the laser thing years ago with a standard laser level that you would use in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so he's always coming up with new things, and it's great, and it's a lot of fun to try different things and see what we get. But we do use, you know, we use a lot of equipment, and then our investigations run anywhere from 4 to 6 hours of active investigation time. And, you know, and then we review all of that, and within 2 weeks, we're back to the client with a report.
Okay. Now, you know, let's talk about some of the investigations that you guys have conducted. I mean, like I said, there are a lot of investigations that you guys have done. Let's start off with, you know, because everybody's always interested in more of, like, you know, the dark type stuff, you know, thanks to Zach Bagans. You know, demons wanting to eat his soul and all. But let's talk about some of the investigations that you guys have conducted. Have you guys ever come across that investigation that was like, wow, we need to get out of here before something bad happens? And if so, can you tell us about it?
We would never, ever say we have to get out of here before something bad happens.
Okay.
If that was going to be our attitude, then we wouldn't go at all, because our clients are looking for help.
Right.
You know, so we don't leave until we get them that help. And whether it's, you know, calling in members of the clergy, having our psychic do a cleansing, whatever it is we need to do, we'll stay until it's done.
Sure.
We do different things to keep us safe. I mean, we're not crazy, but, you know,
you got to be a little bit crazy to be involved in something like this.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Well, you could do like what Jason Haas does and drink juice from pickles.
Oh, there you go.
$10. Woohoo! Yeah. Sorry, nice. I had friends who said that if I work pickles into the conversation in the context of the paranormal during this radio show, that they would pay me money. So, Patty and Billy, pay up. All right,
there you go. What's
your answer?
That's too funny. Well, I'm glad you won your bet. And so we'll do, you know, we'll say a prayer with our psychic medium. We'll do, you know, a circle of light and things like that to protect us if she feels that we're going into a place that, you know, may not be your average run-of-the-mill spirit, so to speak. And we actually, our very first case as a group, because my husband and I were with a group prior to starting our own. But our very first case we went into, and these people reported something dark in the home.
Okay.
And while we were there, we didn't have any issues.
Well, hold on one second. Now, you say dark. I mean, what kind of, you know, strangeness in the home were they experiencing that made them come to that conclusion?
Well, they had claimed that they had seen a dark, I don't want to say demon, Mike, because I don't like the whole demon thing. But it was like a half animal, half person, black thing that came growling through the wall and dumped out the wall and kind of did this freak out on the front porch, and they were just terrified.
That seems a little dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. And it turned out, we didn't have really any activity while we were there. And when we went back through our EVPs, we happened to, find a few, actually, in this location on this one night, which, very rarely happens that you get one, let alone several. And the one actually sounds like somebody screaming, "Get out," but at this high-pitched, angry "get out." So that was, that's probably the case that we can look back on and go, okay, something was not right. We had since returned to the house. We, did some work with the house. And that was really, I think, the only one where we ever heard anything that we thought maybe did not want us there.
So in your, opinion, would you say that, I don't like using the term demon either, because I'm a Buddhist, so it's like I don't really believe in the fallen angel thing, mm-hmm. but would you say that this was, some kind of inhuman or elemental spirit that was just there to give the family a hard time?
I wouldn't say inhuman.
Okay.
Giving the family a hard time, that I would go with.
Okay.
But what my belief is that if you're a miserable person in life, odds are you're going to be a miserable spirit in death. And
wow, you guys must listen to the show regularly, because I say that at least four times every show.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, if they're stuck here, and they're not happy, you can't expect every spirit to be like, "Oh yeah, let me sing you a song," and maybe mm-hmm. I'll come over and pat you on the arm and.
Have a drum circle. Have some beers,
Yeah, really. Not every spirit is happy to be here still, And you have to realize that it's like dealing with people.
Yep, people without bodies.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Ghost, yep, I believe if you were a jerk in life, that doesn't go away.
No, absolutely not. You guys have something interesting that that's on your homepage, and it's a psychic experiment that you guys have been doing. Now, it's pretty unpopular to use psychics these days. However, it's been the accepted paradigm for the last 130 years of psychical research and investigation. Now, your psychic, Virginia Centrillo. Now, is she part of this psychic experiment? And can you kind of fill us in on what that all means?
Sure. What we're actually doing is we're monitoring the effect that Virginia has on our cases, to try to document, some kind of statistical data. And what we do is, after we leave a home and she does whatever she feels she needs to do in the home, we send the client's paperwork to complete regarding how they feel the activity has changed or has not changed. If they feel that Virginia's, interjection there and whatever she does has helped at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're monitoring her results. And, we'd really like to see what the effect is. And if, what she's doing is really truly helping our clients.
Sure.
Love that, because I often wonder, there's, I'll just quote a certain TV show, "We're here to help." And then I never quite understand what form that help is taking. So I like what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And that was a huge thing for us too. And we always say that too. Every time they say, "Yeah, we're here to help," you get to the end of the show and it's, "Well, this is what you have going on here. Okay, take care."
Yeah, have fun with that entity that's been giving you hell for the last 5 years living here. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Right.
And that's not, that's not our style, and that's not why we got into this. The reason why we started our own group was because we didn't like how the group we were with was handling the cases.
Sure.
And our main goal was to help people, and which is, this is part of why we have Kelly to look into the history and why we have the psychic to then validate and. And I think that it does help. And, Kelly, I hope that you felt like it helped having, Virginia in the house. And
definitely, immensely. I can't, and that's why I offered to then help you guys by doing the research, just to pay you back, because she was absolutely amazing. I never really dealt with a psychic before in my life, other than getting my palm read and silly things like that, you know. And it just, her coming into the house, she picked up on every single place that I felt creepy in my house.
That means you. That means you're probably maybe a little sensitive yourself.
And quite yeah, possibly. And I could be, but you know, it's. And then just at the end, when she did the house cleansing and everything, it just everything felt so much lighter after you guys left. It was amazing, and within about 7 days, everything was gone completely. And you know, I have two little kids, so that was my main concern. I had dark shadows checking on them at night, and I had caught it. You know, I'd wake up, I'd see the shadow leaning over my son, and that's what made me think, oh my goodness, so if this is something negative, right,
yeah.
Exactly. So that's, you know, I had to have something done. My husband, you know, a little skeptical, he didn't really believe it till he saw it then himself, and then he just basically said, do what you got to do. If you need to call a group in, do it, and I'm so happy how everything turned out. I really am. I couldn't have asked for better people.
That's great. So I have a question about the experiment that you're doing in the PPA project, is what you call it. What kind of controls are you using to make sure that you're keeping, you know, the information away from the psychic or and that type of thing? So what kind of controls are you using in your experiment?
Well, what we actually do is we post every case on our investigative section in our forum boards. And our psychic does not have access to that. She has her own separate forum where we will go in and we will tell her we have a case on this date and we're going to need you to be here at this time. And that's all she knows until the day we're leaving. She is, what she actually does is she has somebody drive her to cases because she prepares herself on the way to the case. And she'll get a lot of information even as she's in the car. So for her to be driving is too much of a distraction. So
right.
She'll have somebody drive her. And what we actually do is we will text the address to her driver. And so she,
wow.
She doesn't know where we're going until she's in the car on the way. And we did that purposely so there's no time to go on the internet and look up an address and try to find any history, any significant findings. And, you know, the first few times we took her out, my husband and I actually were sitting down and going, she has got to be looking these things up. She was just getting way too much right, you know, and she wasn't. I mean, we didn't give her any time to look anything up, and nobody in the group talks to her about the cases.
Mm-hmm.
She just has no access to any information before we go. And then even at the location, we'll make her stay outside while we talk to the clients. And then we bring her in blind. She'll do her walkthrough and tell us what she gets. And then the client will validate as we go along. But yeah, she's not provided any information.
Now, would she maybe call herself like a what they call a ghost magnet, I suppose. She can actually draw these things out and to her.
I don't know that she would actually call herself a ghost magnet.
Okay.
You know, it seems that, I don't know how to put this. We don't go into places and saying, hey, you know, come out, come and get us kind of thing. We don't provoke. But, you know, she'll read actual layers of history in a location. So she, as she walks through the place, she may have, and this has happened at times where she'll say, they're coming from everywhere. She's like, everybody's just coming at me all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess if you're psychically open, I mean, I would say you're almost a magnet anyway, because they see an opportunity.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, they can communicate with you. But I, you know, I wouldn't say that she doesn't go in and try to call them to her. She tries to communicate with the ones that come to her.
Okay. So,
that makes sense.
So a hit rate. How would you rate her with the hit rate?
Oh, my
goodness. Would say Virginia's like a 97%.
That's 97.
Really remarkable.
Yeah.
We have left houses with clients crying because she has just hit on everything. And she's come up with things that there's no way things. I mean, we didn't even know. There's no way we could have even told her. We actually this is a really funny story. We did the theater in Reading, and the week before, she kept saying, "Why am I getting the Lampoons?" She was like, "Why is this, like, you know, over and over in my head? All I keep thinking is the Lampoons, you know, Chevy Chase, Lampoons." And we're like, "We don't know. You're crazy. Whatever." So we get to the theater, and she's like, "I don't know what this is." She's like, "I just keep getting the Lampoons. And the one girl who helps run the theater said to her, "Are you kidding me?" And she was like, "Why?" And she's like, "This has been the running joke for the last, like, 2 weeks here." She's like, "That's the big joke, is the Lampoons. That's all we've been talking about here."
Right.
So, nice. I mean, it's crazy stuff like that that we had no idea, and she wouldn't have had any idea. And, you know, it's, I mean, how would she know that? You know, it's not something you could look up on the internet. If she had said, "Oh, this building was built in," then I could say, "Oh, yeah, okay." You know, well, I knew that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Most Haunted with Derek Acorey, you know. They're going to the Georgian Dragon Inn. I can look over at my two bookshelves here, and I can see at least 6 or 7 books about the Georgian Dragon Inn. And he's like, "Oh, I didn't know anything about this." You did. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we go into public places like the theater, we made sure she didn't know where she was going until she was well on her way there, because that's something that, it's way too easy.
Right.
To pull information off the internet.
Yeah,
it is. You're right. So she's clearly a medium. Does she have other psychic abilities as well then too?
Yeah. I mean, she's, I don't want to say she's not a, sit down here, I'll predict your future, read my crystal ball kind of psychic. That's not really what she does. The majority of information that she can sit and provide to you is going to come from spirits, people who have passed, who are giving her the information, or her spirit guides, or your spirit guides. She's not a fortune teller. She doesn't look into the future, that kind of thing. There will be times where she's told something by somebody who has passed. But, I mean, she has, you know, she has that ability to kind of ask a question. If you say, "Well, I have a question. What do you think this is going to, you know, what do you think this is going to do?" And she can give you a feeling on that.
Wow.
But yeah, she's not like the palm reader, fortune teller type of psychic.
Got it. So we need to go to a break. You guys will stick around for the next segment, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
And you have sent us some EVPs, so when we come back, we'll listen to your EVPs, we'll chat a little bit more. So we'll be right back, Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Hi, it's John here from Haunted Cornwall FM in the UK. We will be on Z-Talk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalise, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on Z-Talk 3 till 5 Eastern.
Did you know that you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the Z-Talk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com.
Radio Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale, and as you already know, tonight joining us is Lauren Keyes and Kelly Kalb of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. We've been talking about their investigations and their techniques, but there is a unique piece of equipment that you guys use, and probably your most sensitive besides Virginia. You know, can you tell us a little bit about Ben?
Sure. Ben is actually a retired police canine. Mm-hmm. And one of our investigators, Joe Hawk, is his handler. And we just actually started using Ben kind of accidentally. One case that we had, Joe said, well, you know what, it might be kind of cool to, you know, take Ben and just see. And, sure enough, I mean, Ben was reacting to things, and it was just really interesting to see what he did. So we've actually set up kind of another research project on Ben and his reactions to different things. And he's been a great mm-hmm. tool for us, and he's actually led us to catch some evidence in different places. And okay. Animals are extremely sensitive.
Yes.
So he's a great tool.
Yes. So, I notice on your website that your headline, you would say, is a parascientific approach to quantum evolution.
Oh, this is where I go into the corner.
No. It sounds really awesome. What does it mean?
You're taking that one.
See, I know, and I will tell you, Karen, that is where my my husband and co-director nerd boy comes in.
I call my husband, who is also a nerd boy, I call him Techie McScience Geek.
That's so funny. Well, yeah, that's Mark. and the parascientific is, you know what, we go in and we try to do a quote-unquote scientific investigation. You can only get so scientific with the paranormal.
And good for you for admitting that.
Yeah, wow. Hey.
Hallelujah. Go on.
You know, there's so many theories, but it's all theories.
Yeah.
We don't have enough really scientific evidence to say, you know, okay, this is what a haunting is. This is what a spirit is. This is why it's here. This is why it does what it does. There's nothing that says that is universally accepted.
Right.
You know, sure. Studies have been done, but, you know, nobody has actually said, okay, yep, this is definitely it. And there's just so much skepticism. And so it's, you know, it's scientific to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this about the science. Now, obviously, this is not a hard science, but would you say that, you know, psychical investigation and research is more of a social science?
You know what? In a lot of cases, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have found that and I don't want to say, you know, that we have come across a lot of people who maybe have some sort of, a mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
But you really do need to know your client. You need to know what's going on in their life at that point.
Sure.
You need to, you know, kind of try to determine a little bit about what their personality is like when you go in and you do the initial interview with them, because that does have a huge bearing on how the investigation goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, your husband is a licensed psychotherapist, correct?
No.
Oh,
no,
I thought I read
that. My husband is actually a state trooper.
Oh, okay.
He does have a degree in psychology.
Oh, okay. That's what I saw then.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have a degree, though he does not use it for, you know, your normal straight-up psychology, but he does use it quite a bit, actually, in this. And it's really helpful for him, and he's wonderful at reading people.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that, because I think that plays a big part in what he does for a living, too, and just being able to pick up, you know, on the clients and everything right off the bat.
He's kind of intuitive.
I think it plays a huge role, being able to psychologically understand people, understand where they're coming from, and get a read on that, and, you know, how their energy is contributing to whatever the situation is huge in paranormal investigation, and I think often overlooked.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, I mean, that's one of our, you know, main priorities when we go in. You know, we like to know, is there something that has just come up in your life that's maybe causing turmoil? You know, we recently had a case where our clients were on pain medication, and very heavy pain medication. Mm. And, you know, we were actually able to dispel a lot of the occurrences due to some other things that were going on because of the medication. So, you know, it's so important that you have a little bit of a background on your clients.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, and not only that, too, you also have a ton of, you know, different kinds of illicit drugs that also can cause hallucinations. Let's face it. So, yeah, it's definitely a good thing to do your background, especially if you're going into a neighborhood where it's, you know, crack houses and meth labs and all that. It's definitely good to know all that in advance.
Yeah, and you know, and we've definitely gone into some houses, and I know, I believe Kelly was on a case where they ran into some interesting situations.
Well, can you tell us about that, Kelly?
Well, I don't want to elaborate too much, but there was
Show, Kelly, remember.
it was a little suspicious, some things that were around, and well, I had another law enforcement person with me, so we kind of jumped to, you know, some conclusions on what that possibly could have been.
Sure.
But, you know, it is what it is. We were there to help them, and not, you know, point fingers, and because I don't know for a fact if it was anything illegal, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you do come across these situations every now and again, and, you know, we just take it as it comes. That's all you can do.
Yeah, better haunting through chemistry, right?
That's going to be my new thing now.
There you go.
Uh-huh. That's great.
So you guys sent Cheryl 2 EVPs, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So that's not enough for Rick and I to play the EVP game, but we will at least try and figure out what those EVPs are saying.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I sent you, actually, 2 of our best and clearest, and it's, you know, some of them, unless you have the equipment, I mean, we have, you know, some programs set up on our computer where we can actually, you know, enhance them a little bit so that we can separate kind of the white noise in the back from
right.
the actual EVP. And, you know, without that and to play it then over the radio, I think they would have been, you know, so skewed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that it would have even been worth it for you to play them. So I did send you two of our best and clearest EVPs.
Okay, Cheryl.
Right on.
I think we're going to start right now.
Okay.
Let's get some sleep. And if you notice things keep going on at the 3 o'clock hour range and nothing else, what I would say is keep a little log of when you notice stuff.
Okay.
It's like always just at like 3 o'clock, we'll come back and hit that hour if you want to. Again, based on working with some psychics and other stuff, you know, usually there's activity going on at all times of the day, but most people don't really realize it because they're not paying attention as much as at night.
Sounds like you guys got a lot going on in that one.
So is it a female voice that's coming over, or is that one of you responding to him talking?
No, it's actually, and see, and this is the whole thing, but it's kind of lost in translation a little bit. Let me give you a little bit of the background of this case. Was these people, no children in the house, they mm-hmm. were reporting hearing and seeing a child.
Okay.
At the end of the night, we still had a recorder running, and Mark was explaining to them what would happen, you know, after we left that evening. And he was telling them, you know, keep a log of any activity and all of that. And then out of nowhere, you hear, Mom?
Oh, okay. I did actually hear that, but I thought what it
yeah.
was uh-huh. So, okay.
Yeah, no, there was actually, the only people in the house were the client who Mark was talking to and Mark. And then you hear this child say, Mom, and what they were reporting in the house was a child. So that's actually one of our favorite EVPs, and mm-hmm. it was so clear, we didn't even have to clean that one up to find it. I mean, it was just right there, just jumped right out.
Yeah, I heard it.
So is it towards the end of the clip?
It's actually 27 seconds in.
So Cheryl, do you have any way of playing it, like, from about 24, 25 seconds?
Keep a little log of when you notice stuff.
Okay.
It's like always just at like 3 o'clock, we'll come back and hit that hour if you want to. Again, based
yeah,
on
that's clear.
Working
yeah.
with some psychics and other stuff.
Okay, so that one's pretty clear.
Cool.
Very cool.
Very
okay.
Convenient.
So, next. Well, there was a dog barking.
Yeah.
There was a dog barking. Funny thing is, there was no dog in the building.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Okay.
Or outside, for that matter. We were actually in an industrial park, which basically the only building that had any people and or animals in it at that time was the factory that we were in. The whole place has pretty much been abandoned. So the one building has been purchased and is being completely remodeled. So we went in, and funny thing is, we actually had the client with us at that time. And we were sitting in a very large room on the second floor, wide open space, and nobody heard the dog bark. Nobody reacted to it. And
unlike my dogs just now.
Yeah. Well, he says, yeah, here I am. You can hear me. And we didn't have our canine Ben with us at
mm-hmm.
that investigation. So, you know, we looked around and there was, you know, nobody else, no animals in the building. We, you know, checked outside to make sure nobody was, you know, out there with a dog or, but I mean, it echoes like it's in that room with us.
It
right.
does. Yeah, I'd actually like to hear it again because I actually thought it was probably Ben.
Yeah. Nope, no Ben on that one, actually.
Yeah, that really couldn't be anything other than a dog barking, could it?
Clearly a large breed dog.
Yeah, yes, it doesn't sound like my little yappy dogs.
Yeah, no, that was again, you know, one of our really good EVPs, and we had the client with us, so he, you know, was able to say, no, I didn't hear that while we were in there, and he was just completely taken aback. And that was really what he was looking for, was evidence of, you know, something being in there, because they had reported hearing and seeing things, and we were able to give him that, so...
You know, I actually would not mind having, like, if I was going to be around a haunting a lot, I think that if I knew it was, like, an animal, not like a crazy psycho animal that might hurt me or something, but just like a dog or a cat or, you know, something, I might actually feel pretty good about that kind of a haunting if I were a person who was afraid of ghosts.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I would, too. And, you know, sometimes the animals hang around to protect you, and, you know, we all have animal guides, and, you know, not everybody's going to believe in having spirit guides, but if you do believe that you have spirit guides, you know, you also believe that you will have an animal guide or an animal totem, and, you know, they're there to protect you, and so, yeah, an animal haunting, I think, would be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So let me ask you guys this. Do you guys work with historical societies? Do you get referrals from them?
I do. I do a lot of it from home. I usually dig into, I try and get as many historians, like local historians for the area that we're going into, if I can contact them somehow and get some tidbits of information. But yeah, definitely historical societies. The county courthouses, some are more helpful than others. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of contact people now I can rely on to help me with that kind of stuff. And I use Ancestry.com a lot. They have so much information. Huge benefit having a connection with them now.
Right.
So, because they have census records, death records, just newspaper articles, anything you could possibly think of. So it's...
Now, how often do you go into an investigation and you're like, wow, eureka, we found the person that's haunting this place. Do you guys get that often?
As far as before the investigation or when we're done?
Well, when you're done, you're like, hey, you know, we were able to match old man Hopkins with the spirit that, you know, that he died there, and now, you know, we have his, you know, spirit.
That happens quite often. You know, and it's, what we do is, you know, we take the information that Virginia gives us, and then we go through what Kelly has given us, and we see what matches. You know, so in the end, a lot of times Virginia will get a lot of the names on the deeds. I'm not saying first names. She'll get, you know, last names right off the deeds. We had a house where the woman who lived in there was killed in a car crash.
Okay.
And she happened to be still in the home. And we had that from our research, and then Virginia hit on that and, you know, gave us her name first and last. So it happens for us quite often.
So does that demystify it for the clients then? Does it make them feel better somehow if they know who's there?
I think it does. You know, and what we do is we never leave without trying to move the spirit on. If they're still there, you know, either they're trapped and just can't go, or there's something that's holding them there, and Virginia will try to help them. We've actually had a case where Virginia has actually called on a man's dog, and she said, I see the dog. He has a dog who passed, and I think he'll go with the dog. And she has actually, you know, been able to bring the man to his dog, and then he crossed. You know, and it's things like that that just completely, you know, floor me. And then these people report, well, no more activity. Everything is great. So, you know, I mean, that's a huge help. And we never leave without at least trying to, you know, give the client some closure, move the spirits on. If they won't leave, you know, or they can't. I mean, there have been cases where Virginia just has not been able to get whatever's there to cross. It just won't go. You know, and in that event, either we'll bring her back with a team, because she does have a team that she works with of psychics, or if she says, you know what, it's okay, it's going to be okay, We'll leave it there, and we'll teach the client, you know, what to do to kind of keep the peace. Because a lot of that, when that happens, the majority of the time, it's because the client is open.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to keep drawing that person back, regardless of what we do. And so Virginia works to help the client learn how to control their ability and, you know, work with what they've got and what they've got coming to them.
Now, you guys are talking about cleansing homes. It's something that we do quite a bit in the group that I work with. And I know, Karen, you guys do it too, correct?
What's that? I'm
sorry. You guys cleanse homes or locations?
I personally do not, but I've seen the team that I'm with do it, yes.
Okay. How do you guys go about that, and what is your, you know, success with cleansing?
We are, I'm going to say we're probably at an 85 to 90% success rate
of
getting rid of all the activity. You know, if we're not completely successful, it's at least minimized. If it's not minimized, it's because the psychic, the client has some kind of psychic ability and is just continuously drawing whatever it is to them.
Sure.
But we'll do several things, and it really depends on the client's faith and what they're comfortable with and what Virginia wants to do. Because when we're done with our investigation, we turn the house over to Virginia, and then it's hers. That is her domain, and she'll determine what needs to be done. So, I mean, we've done everything from where we will, you know, we'll all sit and gather in a circle, and we'll, you know, we'll say a prayer, and just, you know, our energy will help her to, you know, to cross over whatever's there. She'll stage a home. She has several, you know, essential oils and candles and holy water. So she'll do all kinds of different things. And I'll let Kelly talk a little bit about that, too, because we actually did that in Kelly's house.
Yes, you guys did, and it did mean a lot. Everyone, when you guys were here, just kind of got gathered in a room and stood in a circle, and we said a lot of prayers. She did a lot of spraying of holy water everywhere. She had her natural sea salt that she spread around. That was mostly in the basement, because we had a lot of activity in the basement, too. She had left me with a lot of information to keep things up, left me with some oils and a candle, and I did keep up with it as much as I could. But I haven't had anything happen since, really, and it's just amazing. You know, it truly is. Just her picking up on every little thing in the house that I felt, it still blows me away to this day, and that was like a year ago.
Interesting. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen, please.
No, I was just going to say that is a little disconcerting to have somebody walk in and confirm that you're not nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Kelly's definitely nuts. We're not saying that.
Hey. Yeah, well, I'm part of this group.
Well, I think it's funny. She's talking about candles and soap oils and all that.
Salt.
It sounds like you had a really good bath time, too, after that.
Yeah,
we almost could have had a salad. If someone would have brought the lettuce, we would have been good.
Yep.
A candle with that salad. Well, she had her, you know, she has a reason. She did leave me with some crystals, too, which I still have out. And that, you know, to block the negativity. We didn't have anything negative here, per se. It was just, I was nervous because everything kept happening with the kids. And I didn't want anything to attack my kids. That was the big thing. And my four-year-old felt like she had monsters in her room. She was seeing things, too, and it was scary, but it ended up, well, Lauren can even vouch for this, that basically what we felt was here was a female spirit who was trapped and was just basically trying to get my attention. And I'm so glad that it worked out the way it did, because she needed to be crossed over. She really did. I think she bumped into Lauren and spooked her a little, but it all turned out for the best.
Now, what would you guys say to, you know, a lot of people believe nowadays that it's kind of irresponsible to, you know, make spirits leave or help them.
No, that he's saying this for my sake, because what I typically feel is that I don't feel it's irresponsible, Rick. I feel a spirit does what a spirit does in its own time, regardless of what we do. That's just my personal belief.
But I wasn't speaking about you, Karen. Honestly, I wasn't. I was just speaking of a lot of, you know, groups that I do meet. They say that it's irresponsible to try and cross these spirits over because they are playing God.
Because you're intervening in their path.
Right.
Well, I mean, the first thing I want to say about that is that we've gone into locations where, I'll give you an example. We had a young woman who was murdered. And Virginia encountered her in a room, and Virginia instantly broke down, hysterically in tears. And she said, there's just so much pain. She's like, I feel so much pain. And she's just, you know, she can't move on. She was just stuck in this loop. And every, you know, just constantly, her soul was just reliving this over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so in those cases, do I feel it's irresponsible to help cross? Absolutely not. We have had cases where we go into public locations and Virginia will feel that there's somebody who's trapped there and she'd like to move them on. And the people don't want them to move on because, you know what? The ghosts are bringing them business.
Well, that's different. Yeah. That's people keeping them there is different than, yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, and that I feel walking away from a situation where, you know, Virginia really feels that this person needs to move on and wants to move on and cannot. I think it's irresponsible to leave them there if they're stuck and they want to move on. And like I said before, I mean, we've had cases where they don't want to go. They just don't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, Virginia says, the best I can do is, you know what, I'm going to have a talk with him. He's not going to bother your kids, you know, and we're all going to go on living happily. And you need to speak to him like a person. And this is what we tell our clients. It's a person. Mm-hmm. If it's scaring your kids, you need to say, hey, listen, you can stay in my house if this is what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. However, you have to leave my kids alone. You know, and I firmly believe that in most cases, if you have a spirit that won't leave, they can be reasoned with. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to treat them with the same respect that you would a living being.
Sure.
But yeah, absolutely. I feel it's irresponsible to leave something that, you know, needs to be done undone. But are there cases where they need to be left alone? Absolutely.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. See, what my friend William says, who's really pretty good as a psychic, as he said, you know, they can ask me to move them on, and I would be happy to do that if they do, but I've never had one ask me. So that's kind of his take on it. And mine is, I'm not sure where I stand on it, because like I say, I think that we all have a path of our soul, and I think that... If our soul is somewhere, it's there for a reason, because we're still learning some lesson or something.
Right.
But that's a theory. I mean, I don't know that any more than, you know, anything else. So.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the basis of the whole paranormal, you know, science, is that, you know, it's all theory, and we're all trying to make sense of it, and we're all trying to figure out, you know, where the spirits are coming from and why and what they need from us and what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing.
So. Well, and at the end of the day, you've got to do what you can live with yourself for doing, and you've got to be able to meet your own eyes in the mirror. And if what you feel you need to do is move those spirits on, and that's, you know, how you... I'm so sorry, you guys. The high school band is practicing on the field. They're playing their drums. We live up the hill from the high school. The drums are coming up, and they're freaking the dogs out. It's just one of those nights. But anyway, my point is that you have to reconcile yourself with however you handle your paranormal investigation. And so if that's what your conscience is moving you to do, then I say more power to you.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and it's definitely case-specific, and it's definitely based on beliefs, and not everybody believes the same thing, and, you know, we respect that, and that's all we ask of, you know, other people, is that they, you know, respect where we're coming from.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Completely. I agree, and I wish that there were more people in the field who had that kind of view, because everybody thinks that the way that they do it is right, and there's no room for it any other way, and I don't think that that's good for the field. Okay, so you guys, can you give out your website? Do you have any episodes of the show coming up that you're going to be on? Anything like that?
There's constantly reruns on Animal Planet of The Haunted right now. Like, there are no new episodes coming up right now, though we're still hopeful for the future. But our website is www.theppa.net. And you can also hear my husband, Mark Kies, who is the co-director and co-founder of the group, on his radio show on WILK 103.1. And that's Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. And that show is called Paranormal Science. So okay. You know, if anybody's interested in listening, please do. And I'd like for Kelly to, actually, she has started a business. So if we could give her a second, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I started my own website now for doing historical research, doing family research, property research. I have set up just a small website, but there's some more information on there if anybody'd be interested in me looking into their family tree or their ancestors or even just looking into their property. And my website is www.yourfamilyroots.net.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Thank you, guys. I hope that you'll come back on again. I love talking to you. And, you know,
yes.
I'd be perfectly thrilled if you brought your own Techie McScience geek along with you, too, because, you know, I can hang with that. And Rick claims he can't, but trust me, he can, and he does.
I'm sure Mark would love that. He, you know, as I said, he has his own radio show now, and so he does love to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
we'll definitely have to come back on and talk to you guys a little bit more about the, you know, the scientific aspect.
Yeah, and I apologize for the drums and the dogs. That, you know, just one of those things tonight for some reason. So here's the deal. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Teresa West is going to be joining us, and we have our special performance edition of the Lightning Round. You want to stick around for that, and we also have the super duper lightning round at the end. So hang on, we'll be right back. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Yeah, you're here.
Well, no, but I've still
We're back, everybody.
Hey, we're back. We're just sitting here gabbing away. So, Teresa, you can hear us, right?
I can, but I've still got, like, several different dial tones in my ears. Hang on a sec.
Oh, dear. So, while Teresa's dealing with that, welcome back, everybody, to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Let me sign off and talk to me again here in just a second.
Okay. We're having technical difficulties. Go ahead and sign off, Teresa, and Cheryl will call you back.
Oh, you mean we might have to cancel our special performance round?
Oh,
no, I'll be back.
Because we got nothing else. We got nothing. We're just going to have to talk about jet pants.
That's fine. We can make it happen.
1 minute.
We can
so,
do it.
You know, Rick and I did have, I did have a theory about the cattle mutilations while we were in break, and it is, ready? Ninjas. Cattle mutilating ninjas.
They have the weaponry for it.
They do, and they don't leave a trace. Those guys are like, it's like they were never there.
Like they think you're onto something. There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have Teresa back?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, and I don't have the little dinging bells in my ear anymore.
Oh, yay. Hallelujah. Okay, so here's the deal. We have a special performance edition of the Lightning Round tonight. And so Chad claims that he was too busy to prepare, but we think that he
didn't. Oh, no.
So, but that's okay. So instead, Teresa West is joining us, and we'll see how this goes. This could be the dumbest thing ever, because Rick did not prepare.
Yeah, and, so, and if you're going by my preparation, it probably is the dumbest thing ever. So there you go.
All right. So are you guys ready? Here's our first question. So I love haiku. Haiku is 5, 7, 5, 5 syllables and 7 syllables and 5 syllables. I want each of you to tell me about your favorite paranormal show in haiku. So mine is this. Ready? Dude, watch out for that. It's dragging me straight to hell. It must be sweet, sweet. So that is my. So we'll give Rick a minute to write his haiku. And Teresa.
Yvette's eyes are wide. Is someone having a laugh? Derek, repossessed.
Ah, nice. Very nice.
Most hobby. Very nice. Okay, good.
4 minutes at the most.
So, Cheryl, do you have one?
I do. Mine is based on the show that we were just talking to our guests about, The Haunted. All right, Here we go. The dog is barking. You might get possessed. Spirits run amok.
Ooh, very good. Okay, and Rick, got anything?
Oh, man. Oh, sorry.
Did we lose Rick?
Rick, you there?
Rick. He's gone silent.
Oh, sorry about that. No, I'm here. Sorry about that.
He's composing.
apparently, I accidentally muted my mic. I am really sorry. I don't have anything for this.
All right. Well, just, Rick, you chime in if you wind up having something for anything.
Okay.
So here's the next one. You just spotted your celebrity paranormal crush across the street. And you're like Harry Potter. You have a magic spell, and you can win them over with it. So I would like you to tell me your magic incantation. Let's start with Cheryl.
Oh, God. Okay. my magic incantation is just one line. It's very simple yet effective. But I have to come prepared, because to make it work, I have to take with me some orange blossom, rosebud, willow twig.
Oh, for heaven's
and,
sake.
And a peak.
So who is it that you're trying to woo?
And a piece of my hair. Well, I can't. That's a secret.
Okay.
That's a secret. Okay, so.
I know who it is.
Given the fact. Given the fact that I have all this stuff with me, this is going to work like a charm. Okay, here we go. I spot my paranormal crush, and I say, it's time to go lights out, baby.
So, Teresa,
free beer.
Free beer.
Rick, do you have a pizza if you have to have it?
You know what? I don't need incantations or spells. I use my looks and my charm. While I look to her and say, I see her crossing the street, Robin Marie, come to me.
Oh. Wow, that's sizzling.
Okay, so I have a limerick for you that I'd like you to finish, Rick. I can't imagine that you're going to be able to, so we'll go to you last and you can tell me.
No, I can do it. I got a little bit of it. There once was a ghost from Nantucket who had so much ectoplasm he could suck it.
He ran away because the ghost wouldn't play, and now the ecto's in a bucket.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey,
okay.
It was a
nice collaboration.
So, Cheryl,
like,
do you
one.
Have a limerick?
Yeah, that's much better than mine, but okay. I've got one. There once was a ghost from Nantucket who rattled chains and kicked over buckets. The spirit said, boo, I was scared out of my shoes, so I ran away from that house in Nantucket.
Oh, very good, oh, Teresa.
Very cool.
Limerick?
Yeah, we all got bucket.
Well, it rhymes.
Not many things.
That's because we can't say the other word. It's bleepable.
Yeah.
Well, I have two limericks, and I'll only give you the Nantucket one if you'll let me do the most haunted one.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, there once was a ghost from Nantucket who kept all her tricks in a bucket. A stone down the hall or some blood on the wall, but a camera around, she would duck it.
Oh,
my
very
gosh.
Good. And
that's
your other
great.
Friend?
Okay, many, many years ago on the Travel Channel forum for Most Haunted, which I was a big geek, we did limericks, and I brought up, with such great locations to scour, Darby Gale and Old London Tower. Must have been on a bet that Carl and Yvette brought the whole team to Lonkiac Fowler.
Oh, that is very
nice.
Wow. But very nice.
Good at limericks, Teresa.
4 minutes. Talks.
Wow. You're a natural.
Okay. So,
no, I like to rhyme words. But yeah, so, Nantucket threw me for a little while.
Yeah, because you can't say the believable word is why. Okay, so.
Yeah,
oh my God. Jenny said in the chat room, the spirit said boo and it made me poo.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
The news comes out. There's news, and what you find out is the only way to lure Bigfoot out into the open is to sing a cryptid love song. So I would like to hear, either spoken or sung, a verse of your best Bigfoot love song. Cheryl?
Okay, well, I actually decided to prepare an audio presentation. And so I think you might be slightly impressed with my singing voice. So just stand back and here's my best Bigfoot luring love song.
Is this me singing?
You know what, Karen? I almost played it, but I decided to go another route. But
okay,
it was almost you singing, yes. Okay, here's my love song.
I can't believe it when I hear that you won't see me. Don't you want me? You know I don't believe you when you say that you don't need me.
God. God, I'm talented.
You want me, Bigfoot?
I'm so talented. Could you believe my singing voice? I'm so good.
I know. So I was good. Actually a little afraid you were going to Rickroll me, to tell you the truth.
Wait, Karen, if I had time, I would have done it. I didn't have time.
The Human League are a lot more elusive than Bigfoot. We're not going to get sued for that, are we?
I don't think we'll get sued. I think we're okay.
So, Teresa, do you have a song?
Well, here again, I have two.
Okay.
And it started out, "Real beast of genius, come on over and we'll make a paranormal show."
I love it.
And then I went on to, and I have to give all apologies to Merle Haggard for this song. Karen, this is the one I told you about earlier.
Uh-huh.
"I've been throwing pork chops over my left shoulder. I've spent most all my nights peeking around that one next boulder."
You're making my dogs bark.
Sorry.
You're not.
"Will you run from me over my rainbow? Honey, I'll chase you still. And that's the way fur flows."
Wow.
Oh my God, we have like a country music star here. Wow. Very nice.
Nashville on that.
Nice, Teresa.
No, I'll have to apologize to Merle publicly.
Yeah, all right. So, Biff, you got a song?
I love the Patterson Bigfoot girl, "Your big pendulous breasts flowing the breeze." I am no. That's all.
We need JD for that one.
Nice.
All right. So a few minutes ago, I asked people in the chat room to give us the name of a paranormal reality show. And did we decide that we liked When Ghosts Attacked or Jerseylicious Ghost Style? We'll go with When Ghosts Attack.
Okay.
So each of you has a character that is a paranormal celebrity that I gave you before. And I would like you to improvise the show When Ghosts Attack, and so as your character. And then since we all know who everybody's character is.
I don't know.
Oh, Cheryl doesn't know, so Cheryl has to guess who everybody is.
Okay, I'll
guess.
Anybody else is. I know who I am.
Oh, okay. Teresa doesn't know either. So Cheryl and Teresa can guess. Rick already knows. Mm-hmm. So let's start the scene for When Ghosts Attack with Rick.
I'm so afraid. I've never been so afraid in my whole life. That big muscly jerk always sends me in all by myself. Oh, my God!
Oh, well, you know.
I know who that is.
It's all right. Do not panic. Young friend of the big muscly jerk, because I have a boat here. Oh, damn, it's broken.
I know who you are, Karen.
The ghost must have attacked the boat.
Good job, Karen.
Oh, Cheryl.
Oh, my God, I'm live right here from the ghost attack location. I'm absolutely petrified right now. Our investigative team is hearing rappings on the wall. Help!
Help, help, I look like a raccoon. Teresa, you know who it is?
I do now, yeah. Well, no, I knew from the beginning, yeah.
Teresa's is the hardest one.
Okay, go, okay. Teresa. Make it happen.
Teresa.
Oh, they just think we're stupid, don't they? They're not here to hurt you, honey. I'm trying to think. I wrote notes.
You gotta get the voice better.
I know, I've smoked for all these years and I still can't get it. The rapping, it was more slang for I got nothing.
Oh, I don't know, Teresa. I got everybody but Teresa.
Okay, let's see if I can get Teresa.
That's because mine sucked.
Oh, honey. I'm seeing that the ghosts are attacking you, honey. Wait, no, that's my ex-husband. Oh, Montel. Montel, the ghosts are attacking
you. Oh, okay, thank you. I needed that.
Okay.
The voice should have done it.
Ronnie Fabs from Paranormal
Police. The voice should have done it, but the Montel reference, yeah, that kicked it in.
Okay, so Cheryl, who do we have?
You want to go down the list?
Yeah.
Okay, we have Aaron. We have Josh, yes. And we have Sandra.
No, Sandra.
Oh, wait, what's her name?
Oh, honey.
No. Sylvia. I know who it was. I forgot her name. Sylvia Brown.
Okay, and so Teresa, who is Cheryl?
Well, Cheryl was apparently a vet fielding.
a bad vet fielding impersonator, yeah.
Okay, are you guys ready for the super duper lightning round?
Yes.
Always. I was born ready.
All right, so this is the order we're going to go with. We're going to go Rick, Cheryl, Teresa. Okay, so I don't have to call your name out. I'll just give you the pair, and then you go in the order Rick, Cheryl, Teresa. So here's our super lightning round question for the day. Lockdown, you're trapped for 24 hours. Who would you rather have with you, Phyllis Diller or Joan Rivers?
Phyllis Diller.
Phyllis Diller.
That Hey Vern guy or Carrot Top?
Hey Vern.
Carrot Top by a nose.
Robert Pattinson or Steve Urkel?
Steve Urkel.
Robert Pattinson.
Urkel.
Oprah Winfrey or Jerry Springer?
Springer.
Oprah.
Oprah could eat them. Oprah all the way.
Religious, crazy religious fanatic Tom Cruise or crazy religious fanatic Mel Gibson?
Oh, God. Tom Cruise.
I'm going to have to go with Tom Cruise on this one.
Let him fight it out.
You got to pick one.
Mel Gibson. He's gonna
okay. Lindsay Lohan or the Olsen twins?
Lohan.
Olsen twins.
Lohan's been in jail. I'll take her.
Okay, yeah, that's true. She knows how to handle lockdown, doesn't she? Nancy Grace or Glenn Beck?
God, I'd rather shoot myself. Either one of them. Nancy Grace. Whatever. Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace could talk a ghost to death.
Oh, there you go. Okay. The Situation or Kathy Lee Gifford?
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Kathy Lee.
Pushing both off into the...
No, you gotta pick.
You gotta pick.
The Situation, Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee was funny on South Park, so...
Okay. Ryan Seacrest or Bob Saget?
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget.
Saget.
All right, and that is how we play the super duper
lightning round. Yay!
Woo. That's how you get it done.
I know. I'm not sure we'll have a special performance edition of the lightning round again.
Thank God.
this was fun.
No, it was. I'm just teasing Karen.
Chad has dreaded it, and so he didn't have to do it.
He made an excuse.
We like to have Chad participate in our lightning round, so I'll try to be kinder next week.
Okay.
Okay, so what do we have coming up?
Oh, we have lots of good things coming up. Next week, we're actually going to replay a pre-recorded interview with Dr. Lynn Katai, Phoenix Lights researcher and witness. And the week after, we're going to be talking to Marley Gibson, paranormal fiction and nonfiction author.
Awesome. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I have to end early because I have to go pick up the boy in the band where the drums are playing.
He's so needy.
We're gonna sign off just a little early this week. Stick or come back next week. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks
everyone.
Badly.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.